Hi, I'm Huge. Welcome to Grace Point Online. We're going to open the Bible. Please join with me in prayer. Father, we do thank you that you reveal yourself in and through your word. Help us now understand this portion of the scriptures for our good and the good of our city and the praise of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes you buy a product because it promises great things. Or maybe you've seen, you know, the demo at the shopping center. The knife that can cut through everything and anything, the tape that can seal any and every leak, the cleaning powder that can remove every and any stain, or maybe it's the ab blaster that can give you a six-pack. And it's always modeled by really good-looking people with washboard abs. Notice that? And so you've seen the infomercial, you've read all the online testimonies, you've seen the washboard abs. It sounds too good to be true, but you buy it anyway. And then, after a week, it turns out to be a dud. It looks so promising, it sounded so great, but it's a letdown. You expect great things, and you find out that it's a dud. Now, that's how Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 25 functions. You expect great things of Moses, God's rescuer, God's savior. We read, from the waters of death to lead his people out of slavery. God's savior. And he's now a grown man, ready to act for his enslaved people. But what you find is a real anticlimax in this part of the Bible. You heard it in the Bible reading, because the chapter ends with him in a backwater, no man's land, and he's looking after sheep. From being raised from the waters of death and destruction in the Nile, and he's now outcast and on the run. From prince of Egypt to exile, from position of power and authority and privilege, he's now looking after sheep in the desert. It's actually the story of God's rescuer rejected, a hero scorned, a savior snubbed. Not everyone wants a rescuer. Not everyone likes heroes. Not everyone wants a savior. Have a look with me at what happens as our story actually begins. Look with me at verse 11 and verse 12, and you begin to see a hero in action, a rescuer finally stepping up. At last, there's a savior who's going to come out and fight for his people. And there are two things about our hero in this story. Here's the first one. We see Moses identifying himself with his enslaved and oppressed people. Look with me at verse 11. The NIV version of the Bible reads, "One day," but it should really read years later. So we read years later, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Now, twice we read Moses identifying himself with his enslaved and oppressed people. He went out to where his own people were. He sees one of his own people being abused. Now, you do have to understand, between verse 10 and verse 11, 40 years have passed. In verse 10, we meet the child Moses raised from the waters of the Nile. The rescuer has faced death, but he lives. He's overcome death and destruction. Now we get to verse 11, we meet Moses. 40 years later, and we're expecting great things. Now, how do we know 40 years have passed? Well, we know that because in Acts chapter 7, verse 23, this account is retold. And there we read, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. Now, that actually tells us that even though Moses is raised as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, even though he was raised as a prince of Egypt, even though he lived in Pharaoh's household, he actually knew where he actually came from. He was a Hebrew, an Israelite, a son of Israel. He knew he was the son of an Egyptian slave woman. And twice we're told that Moses identifies himself with his enslaved, oppressed people. He identifies himself with his suffering people. We read, he went out to where his own people were. We read, he saw an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, one of his own people. And as you read verse 11, you now expect Moses, the rescuer, the hero, the savior of his people, you expect him to actually act. His people have lived in slavery and oppression for well over 40 years. They've been waiting for a savior. And Moses is now a man, a son of Israel, but he's also a prince of Egypt. And so he goes out to where his own people are, and he sees their affliction, the pressure and cruelty they're under, their hard labor in the fields. He sees their injustice and their enslavement. And so the scene actually narrows in on an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And now Moses, our hero, actually takes action. And so here's the second thing we see. We see Moses act to rescue his own people. He takes steps to move out, to act as rescuer. He now acts as deliverer, savior to his own people. Look at verse 12 with me. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian. Now, the CSB version of the Bible actually says he struck the Egyptian dead and hit him in the sand. What does he do? Well, he sees an Egyptian physically assaulting, bruising, beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And here we see Moses acting as a rescuer. He comes to the defense of his fellow Hebrew. He strikes the Egyptian dead. He kills the oppressor. He cuts down the enemy. Finally, there is someone who will vindicate them. There is someone who will act for them. Our hero is acting. Now, in Acts chapter 7, verse 24 to 25, when Stephen actually retells the story of Moses, our hero, it's described in this way. He saw one of them mistreated. The word is abused. He saw one of them abused, brutalized by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense, we read, and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. You see, Moses thought, we read, that his own people would recognize that God would use him to rescue them, but they did not. And so this is a picture of Moses, our hero, the great rescuer, the avenger of his people, the hero of his people at work, the defender and avenger of his people. In another part of the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 25, there we also read of Moses identifying with his enslaved and oppressed people. Moses identifying as their rescuer, their hero, their deliverer. Let me read that for you. Chapter 11, verse 24 of the book of Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Raised as a son in Pharaoh's household, right? A prince of Egypt. And then we read, but he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then we read, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so in this scene, Moses, our hero, he acts with purpose. It's intentional. Moses goes out. He went out. He went down. And so he leaves the safety and comfort and pleasure and privilege of Pharaoh's household. And he identifies with his suffering people. He refused to be known as a son in Pharaoh's household. He chooses to be mistreated along with the people of God. That's what we read. And so the Savior is now acting to rescue his people. The Savior is now acting to save his enslaved and oppressed people. Now, it's what everyone wants in a hero, isn't it? Someone stronger who will step in for us when we are powerless. That's why we cheer, you know, when we watch those YouTube videos, right, where someone steps in to take down the bully. And that's why we cheer when someone steps in to defend the vulnerable and the poor. We love it when a hero steps in. It's like the iconic Aussie movie, The Castle. Some of you have watched that. Little guy versus big bad corporation. All is lost as Daryl and his family are about to lose their family home. And on the off chance, in steps Lawrence, the retired Queen's Counsel, who fights for them, who defends their case, who acts on their behalf. Everyone wants a hero. We all grow up looking for heroes, from facing the school ground bully, to the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in, to brokenness we experience in our families, to disappointment in life, to conflict in the workplace. You know, even adults need a hero, someone who will save us, someone who will protect us, someone who will defend and stand up for us. And so here, after 40 years of oppression and abuse and poverty, there is finally a hero who's standing up to the enemy. But in the very next scene, Moses, the hero of his people, the rescuer, is rejected by his own people. Rejected by the people he was raised up to save, rejected by the people he has stood up for. Look at what happens in verse 13 and verse 14. The next day, Moses is back out among his people. He continues to identify with them. He identifies with their oppression, with their suffering. Maybe he was looking for another opportunity to fight for them, to defend them, to avenge them, like the day before. And this time he sees two Hebrews, two Israelites fighting. And so he intervenes. Verse 13, the next day he went out, he went down out of the palace, and he saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Israelite, your fellow Hebrew?" In response, the man said, "Who made you king and ruler over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Are you thinking of striking me down as you struck down the Egyptian?" And so the work of the rescuer is known, but the work of the hero isn't celebrated. It's not welcome, is it? There is no thanks. They will not embrace him. Instead, they threaten him. It's known to the Israelites that Moses has struck down an Egyptian, and it's used as a threat against him. Acts chapter 7, verse 26 to 28, retelling the account, puts it like this. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them. He tried to bring peace between them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" You see, the people of Israel are an enslaved and oppressed people. But they don't see Moses a hero, do they? They don't see in Moses their deliverer, their rescuer, their savior. And so here, Moses, the rescuer, is rejected by his own people. This Hebrew son, destined for death, raised from the waters of the Nile in defiance, in victory over Pharaoh's command. He now starts to act as rescuer, but he's rejected by his own people. You see, heroes aren't always welcome in our lives, are they? And so Moses, our hero, the rescuer, is now on the run in verse 14 and verse 15. Fear sets in. He's rejected by the people he has identified with. He's rejected by the people he's come to save. He's not embraced as a son of Israel. And now we read he's rejected by the family he grew up in. He's no longer a privileged son in Egypt because he's now on the run, a fugitive. From prince of Egypt, son of Pharaoh's daughter, to life as a fugitive on the run in exile. Look at verse 14. Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went down to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. And so the ties are now severed, aren't they? And Moses is alone again, this time not in the waters of the Nile, but in the wilderness, in the desert of Midian. Rejected by Pharaoh and his household, rejected by his own people. And his life is now threatened again, threatened as a child and now threatened as an adult. He flees Egypt into the Midianite wilderness, the desert. And so we see our hero, Israel's rescuer, the deliverer, the one raised from the waters of death and destruction, now alone by a well. He's in the middle of nowhere, a refugee with no possessions, no home, no way of going back, with an uncertain future. Now, it is a very disappointing story, isn't it? After 40 years of enslavement and oppression for the people of God, when Moses finally acts to save them, to rescue them. When our hero finally steps in, they reject him. They turn on him. But in the very next verse, we do see our hero acting again. He acts again as rescuer. This time he acts as rescuer in the wilderness, in the desert by the well. Look at verse 16 with me. We see a priest of Midian, we read, who has seven daughters. Verse 16. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. We meet a shepherd family. We read he's a priest of Midian. That means he's not a worshiper of Israel's God. He's a priest who served the foreign gods. He was an idol worshiper. His girls bring their sheep to be watered by the well. And as they do that, there's conflict in verse 17, right? So look at verse 17. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. Now, in a desert region, water is precious. It's a precious commodity. It's the center of life and community. And so the girls have come with their sheep to water them. But what they find is a group of shepherds unwilling to wait their turn. They find themselves intimidated and physically threatened. Now, these are not his people, but our hero Moses, he steps in, doesn't he? He intervenes. He acts again to defend the oppressed. He stands for the oppressor. He defends the powerless. He acts as their rescuer. And so verse 17 we read, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. Who should come to their defense? Who should come help them? Who comes to protect them? Who steps in for them? Just like before, Moses steps in as rescuer. Not just defending them, but also drawing water for them, meeting their need, providing for them. And so you've got Moses, the prince of Egypt, not just coming to the aid of a shepherd's family, but now looking after their sheep. Now, we read the girls go home, and they're home early in verse 18. They explain what's happened. We read verse 19, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock. Now, notice, our story emphasizes what our hero does. He rescued us from the shepherds, but he goes one step further. He even drew water for us and watered the flock. Look at verse 17 and verse 19. Twice we're told, Moses rescued, Moses rescued. He stands up for the oppressed. He steps in to protect the powerless. He defends those in need. Do you know, that's the kind of hero we all want in life, in every sphere of life. Fathers who will protect their families. Magistrates who will give justice to the oppressed. Politicians who will speak for the voiceless. Heroes who will step in for us. Heroes who will fight for us. You see, no one wants a hero who lives in some ivory tower. We want a hero who comes to be with us. We want heroes who will identify with us, and we want heroes who will act for us. John Bon Jovi really made the news a couple of weeks ago. Let me tell you why he made the news. He's been washing dishes 5 days a week at his not-for-profit restaurant. It's a community restaurant, JBJ Soul Kitchen. He doesn't have to be there, does he? He could pay people to do this work, but he's there serving those in need, washing dishes in the kitchen. In an interview, Bon Jovi said, "The in need still need to eat, especially now." Now, other celebrities, they're in isolation, aren't they? But they're posting photos of themselves on Instagram, sipping wine by the pool, or they're complaining how hard their lives are in their massive, beautiful homes. And John Bon Jovi is washing dishes 5 days a week, helping his crew serve up meals to those in need during COVID. We all want heroes, don't we? We want heroes like that, don't we? Heroes who come to be with us. Heroes who will identify with us and heroes who will act for us. That's the kind of hero we want. Now, the scene does close with Moses, our hero, our rescuer, living as a stranger in a foreign land. Look at verse 20. An invitation is extended to Moses to stay. Verse 20, where is he? Reuel, the priest, asked his daughters, why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat. And we read that Moses stays with the shepherd's family, this priest family. He marries into the family. Verse 21, Moses agrees to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And so the story ends with the naming of a son. In light of everything that's happened, he's separated from the people he's identified with. He's far from the land he grew up in. The home he has known is no more. Everything he has possessed has been taken away from him. He's a stranger in a foreign land. His son is named Gershom, meaning foreigner in a foreign land, stranger in a strange land, a refugee away from home. Now, that's really how our story ends. The rescuer raised to save Israel has been rejected by his own people. And so Moses is again under the sentence of death by Pharaoh's command. The rescue of the daughters of a Midianite priest is now living as a stranger in a foreign land. And so chapter 2, verse 10, notice he is named Moses, raised from the waters of death and destruction in Egypt, a prince of Egypt. And then notice what happens 40 years on. He's now in the land of Midian, and he names his son Gershom, stranger in a foreign land, refugee in a foreign land. And the question remains, so what will happen to the people of God living under oppression? What will happen to the people of God living under slavery? What will happen to the people of God? Well, here's what's about to happen. Look at verse 23 and verse 25. We go back to Egypt. The scenes of slavery, oppression, and hard labor greet us. The sounds of groaning and weeping greets us. God's people are still trapped under the cycle of oppression and hardship and poverty. They still feel the weight of slavery. The children of God's promise are still suffering. In chapter 1, we read they were oppressed. Moses is born. And when you get to chapter 2, verse 11, 40 years pass. Now, let me say this. When you get to verse 23, another 40 years have passed, which means between chapter 1 and what we now read, 80 years have passed. And even though Pharaoh dies, the people of God are still oppressed. The oppression has not stopped. Look at verse 23. During that long period, another 40 years, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and they cry for help, and they cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant, his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And so Pharaoh dies, but the groaning continues. And God hears their mourning, he sees their tears, he hears their cry, and we read, he remembers his covenant. He remembers his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He remembered his promise to save them. And so God is now going to act. And if you're here next week, Pastor Elliot is going to unpack for us how God is going to save his people. So make sure you tune in next week. But for now, what can we learn from this part of the Bible? How does it apply to us today? Now, one of the things we're meant to see here is the rejection of our hero Moses by his own people. God raised Moses as his people's savior, their rescuer. Twice we've seen Moses the rescuer at work, first in defending and avenging a fellow Israelite being oppressed. And then in defending and standing up for a group of Midianite women who were also oppressed. Here is the hero, the savior, the rescuer at work, raised up from the waters of death and destruction. Well, what you find, even as Moses begins to identify with his suffering people, even as he comes to their defense, even as he steps in to rescue them, the savior, the rescuer, is met with rejection. The rescuer is threatened. And as the story of the Bible unfolds, you'll find that it's not going to be the first time God's people reject their Savior, their rescuer. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 35 to 41. He'll use this rejected hero story as an example of the pattern of God's people constantly, continually rejecting God's Savior, God's rescuer, again and again and again, as far back as the story of Moses. Now, you will see that in the book of Exodus. As the book of Exodus unfolds, God's people will continue rejecting their hero. They'll reject Moses as he stands and speaks before Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 5. They'll reject our hero Moses before the Red Sea, right? They'll want to go back to enslavement in Egypt. That's Exodus 14. They'll reject our hero Moses at Sinai, and their hearts will turn to worship a golden calf. That's Exodus 32. Now, in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen will actually go on to say, God's ultimate rescuer has come today in Jesus. The ultimate hero that we all need has come in Jesus. God's ultimate Savior has come in Jesus, just like Moses. But God's people have rejected him as well, just as they rejected Moses. God's rescuer has come in Jesus. And if you read the story of Jesus, you'll know they threatened him as well, didn't they? They plotted against him. They rejected him. They crucified him. They killed him. They murdered him. They nailed him to the cross. Now, this is why the writer to the Hebrews says, in Jesus, we have a hero much greater than Moses. In Jesus, we have a rescuer much greater than Moses, because the hero of heroes has come in Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews says, Moses was a rescuer, right? As a rescuer, Moses was a servant in God's house. But Jesus, the rescuer, was a son in God's house. And the hero of heroes has come to save you. Read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. We read, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future, the coming of the hero of heroes. But Christ is faithful as the son over God's house. Now, pause with me for a moment. Maybe today you find yourself in darkness. Maybe you find yourself in a place of great despair. Maybe you find yourself trapped and enslaved in some situation. Maybe you're crushed and you're alone. And you really wish there was a hero who would come for you. You wish there was a hero who could identify with your pain, a hero who could act for you in your despair. Well, Christian people actually believe there is such a hero. There is a rescuer, there is a savior who has stepped out of the dark into the darkness, who has stepped out of his throne into the darkness and come down into the brokenness of our lives and our world. Christian people believe that. Christian people believe that there is a hero who laid down his life to save us from a far greater danger, a far greater brokenness, a far greater pain, a far greater darkness, a far harsher enslavement, a far worse isolation and loneliness. Do you know, that's the reason why Jesus died. He died to save us from our sin, from the life we've lived, ignoring God and rejecting God, from the judgment and the death we deserve. Jesus, the hero of heroes, sacrifices his life for our sin. He takes on himself the crushing weight of our judgment on himself. He faces death for us. And if our hero has rescued us from that ultimate darkness, from that ultimate enslavement, if he's rescued us from that ultimate suffering and that ultimate loneliness, then we know today we do have a hero sufficient for our every need today. You see, this is what makes Christianity different from every other worldview. This is what makes Christianity different from every other religious worldview or secular worldviews. Every other religious worldview, even secularism, says you need to be the hero in life. You need to be the hero in life to save yourself. And so religion says, be more moral, do more good to pay for your past failures, keep the commandments and to earn God's approval. Religion always says, you must be the hero to save yourself. Now, secularism is no different. because secularism says, be stronger, be faster, be smarter. Weakness will kill you. Only the strong will survive and get ahead. And so even secularism says, you must be the hero in life to save yourself. Can you see that? Religion and secularism says, you need to be the hero to get through life. You need to be the hero to get through this season. Christianity alone says, you don't need to be the hero in life. You don't need to be the hero in life because you have a hero in Jesus who has come to be with you in your brokenness. You have a hero in Jesus who goes ahead of you and lays down his life to save you from your ultimate darkness, from your ultimate enslavement, from your ultimate loneliness, judgment and death itself. He faces it for you and he overcomes it. So trust him. Stop being a hero in life. Stop trying to save yourself and begin to entrust your life to Jesus, the hero of heroes. Maybe, just maybe, that's what some of you need to do today. Maybe the COVID season has made you realize for the very first time you can't save yourself. You're not as strong as you thought you were emotionally, mentally, physically. You've been trying your hardest to be the hero in your family, and it's exhausting. You're trying your hardest to be the hero in dealing with the future and the uncertainties, and it's crushing you. The good news is that you do not need to be the hero in life. There is a hero who has come to be with you, a hero who is for you, a hero who has gone ahead of you, a hero who has come to save you and rescued you at the cross, a hero you can entrust and you can entrust whatever is happening in your life to. Now, even if you didn't believe there was such a hero, you wish there was someone like this in life. We all do. Christian people believe that in Jesus, the hero of heroes, someone has come to be with us and for us. Jesus, the hero of heroes, has gone ahead of you and taken the sting out of the ultimate chaos for you at the cross. He kills death. He exchanges his life for yours. And because he's done that, you and I, we don't have to be the hero in life. We don't have to try to hold the chaos of our world and our lives together. You can actually entrust the chaos and brokenness of your world and your life to him. Isn't that good news? I think it's the best news you can hear this COVID season. Friends, church, if the hero of heroes has really come, why would you reject him? Why would anyone reject him? You see, the story of Moses, the story of our hero Moses, is the story of rescue offered, but rescue rejected. And it's a tragedy, isn't it? To see the rescuer rejected, threatened in exile. And you know, we do read of such tragic rescue stories even in our day and age. Recently, I read the story of an Iowa man who didn't just refuse to get out of his home when it was on fire. He also threatened and fought his rescuers. They even tasered him, but he refused to be rescued. Now, it's actually a modern story, isn't it? Of rescue offered, but rescue rejected. And we do see that. But the story of Jesus, the hero of heroes, the story of Jesus doesn't have to be a tragedy for you today. If the hero of heroes has come, if the story of Jesus doesn't have to be a tragedy in your life today, because the ending can be very different for you. He can be your hero, your rescuer, your savior today. Now, in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and it might be a prayer that's right for you. It goes something like this. This is how this prayer goes. It goes like this. Dear God, I thank you that in Jesus, the hero of heroes has come for me. I thank you that he stepped out into the darkness of my world and into the brokenness of my life to be with me. I thank you that I have a hero who identifies with my pain, a hero who has acted for me in my ultimate despair. I thank you that Jesus, the hero of heroes, has gone before me to face my sin, my judgment, and my death. I thank you that Jesus, my hero, has rescued me from that ultimate darkness, enslavement, and suffering forever. Help me to stop trying to be a hero in life. Help me to stop trying to save myself. Help me to entrust my life to Jesus, the hero of heroes, the rescuer, the savior I need. Now, if that's a prayer you'd like to pray, join with me now in praying this prayer. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that in Jesus, the hero of heroes has come for me. I thank you that he stepped out into the darkness of my world and into the brokenness of my life to be with me. I thank you that I have a hero who identifies with my pain, a hero who has acted for me in my ultimate despair. I thank you that Jesus, the hero of heroes, has gone before me to face my sin, my judgment, and my death. I thank you that Jesus, my hero, has rescued me from that ultimate darkness, enslavement, and suffering forever. Help me to stop trying to be a hero in life. Help me to stop trying to save myself. Help me to entrust my life to Jesus, the hero of heroes, the rescuer, the savior I need. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer today, today is actually the start of your journey with the true hero of heroes, Jesus. Or maybe you've got questions that you really want to ask. Now, if that's you, if you prayed that prayer and if you've got questions, we'd love to connect with you. We want to help you on that journey. We want to walk with you and we want to help you walk with Jesus, our hero of heroes. So make sure you connect with us because we would love to connect with you and we want you to do it today. Click on the Connect With Us button or maybe go to gracepoint.org.au/connect and connect with us and we will be in touch with you this week.